Hello, we are on the bridge of BBS Radio. We have Seth as the engineer. We have Don as part of the captain's crew. And we've got Doug Newsom, his twin brother, as you think of him as like a doctor of word. That man can do some writing. I am just thinking how amazing, just amazing this bridge really is. You know, each of you, it takes to put the wisdom out there. I believe tonight is just a major turnaround for me. I feel like I'm in another dimension. First of all, I'm going to timestamp this. It is Tuesday. We are starting at 8:05 p.m. due to me being in a meditation, Kathy Hill Cook. And it is August the 30th, 2011. Some of you guys know me as Bright Lights Pathfinders. But the beginning of Bright Lights Pathfinders, Daddy named me Bright Lights Path first. Because he said I had a path to decide about. And I went out to the ocean front. It was where the island kind of went around in a circle and the inlet and the ocean met. And most of you have heard this story before. But I'm pulled back to that because it was one of the last times I was out there. Due to many reasons, it's hard to return to that area. I placed a lot of stones down in the sand that day. I call it the moment of the day, which is right now. It's where the sun is setting or the sun is rising. And I said, Daddy, it was when my daddy was alive. I said, in the moment of the day where the sun rises and falls, God just creates the most majestic finger paintings on the heavenly walls. And he said, that is a bright light. That you are a bright light. And he says, you are getting ready to change your path. So that's how Bright Light's path was evolved. Then as he was dying, he had about a year left. He said, find it, finder. We'll always look for the, what are you looking for? What are you going to find? So that's how Bright Light's Pathfinders evolved. It was the S is because so many lights are so bright. Everybody that's in my life is bright. Whether they're sad or whatever's going on in their life, it doesn't matter. There's still a bright light to me. And the path that we are on, I believe we are all like riding a V for victory. Think of that as a victory. The fork in the road is a victory sign. Or a tuning fork. Look at it as something. Even bull horns, you know, strong as bull. Be a strong bull. But your V, we're at that V. I know I am. Because it's like Filippo says, life changes with Filippo. You know, but it's life on life's terms. I would like to share some things with you that I have learned that have come up in my past while I have taking an inventory of my life. I'm still doing it, so bear with me. I'm going to expose a few little things about my history of who I am. Now, not many even of my immediate family members, including my grandmother Hill's children, know this. But my grandmother and I were very tight. Very tight. She's the one that taught me how to talk kind of in a metaphysical, subliminal, encrypted type way. She said, because those who will need to get the message will get it. Those who don't won't. She says, you're going to be thought of as very odd and different. And she said, just know to stay on your path. She picked up my hands one day. And she rubbed them very gently, and it was right when I brought her just a plain old marble stone, you know, one out of the driveway. I'm always collecting stones. I said, look at all the little things inside and how you can see the little cracks and crevices and how they make a picture. She picked up her after she, I had that stone in my hand, she held it, and she said, Catbird, she called me Catbird. All my whole family called me Catbird. She said, you're like my daddy. Your granddaddy Moore. She says, always know your roots. She studied my hands. She rubbed them like Grandmama always did. And she whispers, but she's going to tell something real important. She says, your hands are like my daddy's. He was a holy man. I said, Grandmama, what's a holy man? She said, well, let me just give you an example, because I was pretty young. She said, I was about 8 or 9. She says, your granddaddy, my cousin burned her hands in hot, boiling water one afternoon when she was visiting. My grandmother was, and her cousins were visiting. And Aunt Bertie is her sister, so they were at Aunt Bertie's house. She's an artist. So that's how Catbird came to be. And she said to her daughter, burned her hands. She's screaming and crying. Granddaddy Moore took her hands immediately and just held them very gently. They were blistered and broke. Immediately her hands were healed. She says, always know to know your roots. She says, now you have your granddaddy's hands. And I know that she passed it through to me. That's the only thing I can comprehend, because I always knew that something was different about me. But until I talked to my grandmother, because grandmothers have such a way with their grandchildren. I know that now because of my old granddaughter, Avery Lee, and Ashley asking me to instead my grandmother wisdom into her. Now, Grandmama taught me, one day I had a bee sting. Okay, we raised bees and we raised their own honey. And we would take the hives, the bees would get around we had out on the farm where there was peach trees, orchards, and apple orchards, and pecan orchards. It was a huge farm, thousands of acres. And it's in Indian Land, South Carolina, which is right at the Marvin County line. You can look it up. And I'm a Cherokee. My grandmother here was full-blooded. Her father was a holy man. Her mother, Grandmama, my great-grandmama Moore, she was a Judson. Her last name was Judson. I'm not going to tell you her first name because I want to keep that kind of personal. But the thing is that she was a medicine woman. She was a medicine woman due to the fact that she would remedy all the ailments. And Grandmama passed down some of those to me. And I would like to pass them on to you, the active listening audience. Okay? Now, bee stings, the bees combine onto the nectar of fruit trees or flowers. I prefer flower honey over fruit honey. And then my dad, when we moved, he had beehives. All my family members had beehives. And it's very significant, the hive of a bee. I don't know, but I combine that with people. And there's different hives at different places. And, you know, that's like a community. Okay? Now, if you are getting stung by a bee, because yellow jackets are the worst. I mean, that's when you step on one. Usually they're in the clove and stuff. But Grandmama would take out some tobacco, and it would be, you know, Granddaddy smoked Lucky Strikes, and she smoked something, but she's like me. She never really inhaled it. It just kind of burned. Anyway, you'd take the tobacco, just a little pinch off, take the paper off, and it's got to be your spit you to do the best, but you can use anybody's spit, like a grandmother's if it's a child. But the spit, you mesh it up and make a paste and immediately put it on the sting, and it pulls it right out, just like that. I kid you not. And then if you burn your fingers or hands, immediately grab your ear, because the wax is in around your ear, even on your lobe. But just rub it or hold it real tight. Don't put butter or anything on there. That only makes it worse, and ice. But the thing is, it burns hurt because of the air hitting the raw skin. There's 7 layers to our skin. And if you burn past the second layer, it's a first degree burn. Third layer is a third degree burn, which blisters. And it goes on like that, the epidermis does, of skin. Now, bringing up ice. If you immediately get a fever blister, grab a piece of ice. Place it on the fever blister. Keep it on there till it's like freaking numb, burn. Ice will burn, and then you will go numb from it. You got to go past the burn. It takes 3 minutes. And just leave it on there. Whenever you catch it, I mean, if it's been there, as soon as you feel that little funny thing, put it on there. Now, fever blisters are like a herpes. Not the herpes. It's a herpes simplex 2, okay, which is a cold. You got it from a cold or stress or something like that. And usually once you get them, they're inherited usually, I do believe, because my dad had them. But I get mine on the same place only when I'm stressed, like when I had my hip replacement and was treated like a big old cow. And they didn't even put my muscle back together, and they gave me an extra half an inch of a leg. My grandmother came to me. She was passed. This was 2000, and I was at Mercy Hospital, and she was with me at all times. And the nuns and everybody thought I was, you know, they said that sometimes that when you have such trauma like that, you can actually see the other side. So anyway, this is why I'm telling you the story about my grandmother Hill and the Native American ways. Also, you can take, there's so many things to tell. I want to keep it in order, though. So we've covered let me tell you how to make a beehive. Okay, the bees can collect on the flowers of the nectar. There's always a queen bee, but what we do is you've got to have a book of matches or a lighter. I prefer a book of matches. You know those smoke accordions that you blow onto a fireplace to make the fire go? Or if you have a fan or whatever, but it's best to have a smoker, an accordion smoker. Now, if it's just a small hive, you've got to make the slat first where they're going to make their cones. Daddy and I and Granddaddy and my brothers and cousins, and you know, we learned to do it ourselves, but we would take old picture frames. Never throw your picture frames away. Or, you know, just pieces of wood and make a, you know, a 360 angle, or got to angle the wood just so it'll slap together. Or I prefer to just use the analogy of a picture frame, you know, with no picture in it, or a mirror frame. You take two sides, okay? Now, you can take a block, a little square block of wood. You got to have something, but you're going to hammer those together. You're going to hammer all sides of the two picture frames together, back to back. You can take a little block of wood, even a tinker toy. That we use tinker toys because then we always had them. You know, the little round ones. And you hammer it together, okay? Now, you seal up the sides. You can use anything, whatever you need. You can use a tube or rubber, tube from a hose from, you know, an old water hose or whatever. But you got to seal the sides. And then you take old wood glue or whatever you want, and seal that up. But at the top, you leave one piece open. And before there was heating and air conditioning, we used old chicken wire and fiberglass. But not the fiberglass kind that you insulate with, but it was a certain kind of fiber. Or you can use, it's called cheesecloth. Cheesecloth is like a very thin woven burlap, but smooth, and it's dipped in wax. If you don't have that, you can use nowadays you can use the old heating and air conditioner filters that you change to keep the dust out of your house. You slide any such a thing down into the center. Now, if you're going to use cheesecloth or something, you got to make it like another piece of wood or a dowel rod or something, because it's got to be stretched tight like a canvas. And you slide that down into the opening of the two picture frames that you've placed back to back with a tinker toy or whatever, you piece of wood, or, you know, even if you have to use a bunch of cardboard, you just got to have a good half an inch or a quarter of an inch away from the picture frame sealed on three sides. You slide that down into the center, and then you go over, and you don't have to put anything on. Now, there is, my dad used to put the helmet on, look like he looked like the man in, you know, the yellow hat in Curious George, and he put a veil over his face. He wore the gloves and everything. I didn't. I filmed so much of making beehives when the first camcorders came out, and my Pentax K1000. Oh my gosh! I've got every step of the way how to make a beehive. So when I get my things back, which have been studied, and by the way, you guys can leave them. You know who I'm talking to, on my deck or porch or wherever you'd like. I would be honored to have them back if they're meant for me to have back. If not, then they're meant for you or another person, which are my stones. I have no more stones here. My whole altar's gone, even including my grandmother's cameo. But I don't know if it's being looked at or studied or what. It doesn't matter to me because it's just things. I don't use them for power. Don't use them for anything but pretties. But what I'm getting at is if I had my things back, I could make such a beautiful story for people to see the ways of the elders, the ways of the ancestors in my family. Because I have so many pictures, negatives, and all those old camcorder things. Okay, now anyway, let me get back to the story. This is a storyboard. You take the smoke and smoke the bees because it's just like they can't see and feel. Now why? And it calms them down because they know, like with the, you know, the sending the messages, the Native Americans would build a fire and they'd send smoke signals to the other tribes to let them know, kind of like a Morse code, to let them know what was going on, just to talk or come to have dinner. There's a war going on, whatever. Now I know some good old smoke codes too. Grandmama taught me that. Wow. And I'm going to stop right there because I got to tell you a little story. Grandmama had at age 43, I believe, or 45, twin boys, Wayne and Dwayne. And they're not even a couple of years older than me. And she also had a daughter named Aunt Vicky. Whoa, Aunt Vicky, let me tell you. If you heard her talk, our voices sound identical. But Wayne and Dwayne and Vicky were playing Cowboys and Indians one day. I was too little, but I watched. And Wayne and Dwayne tied Vicky to the post and burned her at the stake because she's an Indian. That's why the Indians got such a horrible name. Okay, but you think of NA, which is Native American. What are we? The Natives of America. So that's probably why, you know, let's slander down the Native American savage, stinky people. Yeah, because we can stink, well, let me tell you. But there's a reason for that, and I'll get to that in a minute. This is so cool. I'm just reminiscing on the bridge right now. And with some wisdom. But they rolled Vicky in. I mean, it's bad. It was bad. Her one leg was really bad. But they rolled her in the dirt to put the fire out. So that's how you get out of it. Do not run. That gives it air. You roll immediately. Drop to the ground and roll. Doesn't matter if it's dirt or what. Just roll. Just keep rolling. Roll over and over and over. Put the fire out of your body. Okay? I don't know if this war's going to hit us or what. But if you hit a fire, you roll. Don't run. Or have somebody smother it out with a blanket. But air is what causes, remember, the burn to eat. And, you know, the fire thrives off of oxygen. Wants to suck it up and eat it. Now you smoke I'm going back to the beehives. You've made your beehive thing with the two pieces of molding of a picture frame and slid the thing down in there. So you're smoking the birds. Sorry, I'm a bird on a wire. I'm so ADD. Just bear with me. Okay. We're going to smoke. I want you to vision this in your head. You can be at a flower with a bunch of bees or whatever, but you smoke them. And then the way you smoke them is you have to take like a twisted up piece of paper, okay? or a kerosene piece of something. But you've got to take your matches and catch that on fire. Well, it takes two people because one person's going to hold the fire like a torch while the other person smokes it, okay, with that accordion. And you smoke it and get that air going on the fire. That's cleansing. Just like with sage and sweetgrass and whatever that you burn, you cleanse with it. It purifies. Sage is a cleansing. Cedar is protection. We won't get into that. I'm stopping right there. But you, once you do that, you get like an old cardboard, you know, or anything that you can grab, and you slide all the bees up because they'll combine together. Like if there's like they're spread out, they'll all combine together with the queen. What do we do, queen? What do we do? So therefore, you take them and you slide them up and keep smoking. And other bees will kind of be flying around like, what's going on? What's going on? But you put them down inside. You don't put them down. You just lay them right at the new formed beehive, you know, with the picture frames and the cheesecloth or the vent that you've, the air conditioning heat and vent that you've made. There you go. And leave it to them. Because they're going to be going and getting that pollen and bringing it back to that queen. Look at me, queen. Look at me. I'm working. There's only one queen bee, though, I'm telling you. And they will protect her to the nth friggin' degree. There's, you know, if another hive or, you know, an animal, whatever. She's way down in there. You can never find her. She's hidden in her heart, within her heart. She looks different, too. She's got two sets of wings. There's different types of bees, but let me tell you, when you make your honey and go to get it out, they'll let you get it out because they need more room. But the cones start being formed in there, and they're octagons, octagon shape. Now, that's a very important symbol, shape. Everything is octagon, or, you know, like a hexagon is being formed. That's why it's really great to use chicken wire when you're making this thing and use cheesecloth, because the hexagon's already there. But anyway, you just pull that slat out. You can smoke them if you're scared of bees. I just pull them out. And the cone is so gorgeous. It's in columns. Because you've used, I forgot about that. When you make the cheesecloth, just lay some string down, you know, and tack the string to each end of the inside slat. And that'll help it make its columns. If let's say you've had the bees in the hive for maybe three months, that's really light honey. If you leave it for 6 months, that's a medium honey. The sweeter, the older the honey, the sweeter, because it's sugarified kind of cane. And the dark honey is about a good 9 months. Then you have your molasses, which is the leftover old hives that the bees have moved to another hive. Because they will outgrow it. They'll move. If they've made that colony, they'll move to another hive. That's why it's very important to keep your hives cleaned out for them and honor them. Now, the bees' wax is great for chewing on. Oh, my gosh, it's like gum. And it's very good for the system. It's allergy. It works for allergies very well. Any kind of respiratory system problem, use honey. A spoon of honey a day keeps the doctor away. Did you know an apple has more caffeine in it than a cup of coffee? The rind of the apple, the outside. Now listen to this. We're going to go to, let's think of you smashed your finger or your toenail. Okay? As soon as the blood starts surfacing, you take an old paper clip or, you know, anything that's significant like that and unfold it and you burn it in the fire, you know, with some matches or something to purify it. And you drill it down into the core right at the bed's root of your thumb, of your nail. I'm going to use my thumb. Okay, let's pretend like I've smashed my thumb, which I bless and I will not have happen because I'm knocking on wood. Anyway, because what you speak evolves. But back in the day when I smashed my thumb so bad in the Surrey wagon, putting this horse wagon together, Granddaddy took an old paperclip and he drilled a hole right down in with that hot, 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 flaming red hot. I was so scared because I was a little girl. But he drilled it right down and it doesn't really hurt, but it relieves the pressure of the blood because, you know, the blood's underneath the bed. That's why it turns black and you lose your nail because of the pressure. If you take that paperclip so hot and drill right in the center core where if you look at your nail right now and look down in there, you'll see a pink. Should be pink. And your nails are really tell how the health is of a human. Your nails tell it all. If you get ridges in your nails, that you're lacking in calcium deposit. Yes, it's like calcium. Just your nails, you can get funguses under them if you don't. If you use toenail polish or fingernail polish and you don't keep them off because they can't breathe. Or those fake things. Now, my nails grow so freaking fast, it's crazy because of, I don't put anything in my body but the food that I eat. I only eat once a day. And I'm a very overweight for purposes of, I will not discuss right now, but let's just say, voodoo, woo-woo, and the wrong steroids that were used on my body. So anyway, let me get back to some more remedies. You will not lose your thumb, by the way. Fingernail. Let's say you've got a big, huge cut. You've got to disinfect that cut right away. Now, I tell you this burns like hell, but it's methylate or Curachrome. And you place, you know, or you can use, you know what's really good? Epsom salt. Comes in an old box. And it's a big old square box of, you know, like a box of a half a gallon or so. And you mix that with some water and you soak in it. Even if you have sore muscles, whatever. Let's say you've got like a splinter or something. It will pull, the salt pulls the infections out. But let's say you got a cut. You use, believe it or not, silly glue or, you know, super glue. And you smash your finger or your cut together because it's natural. And you just seal your finger shut or your whatever cut shut. If you don't have it, you know, if you can't get to a doctor. But if you wait past 24 hours to get stitches, they won't stitch it up because it's already started its own healing process. And if they heal it up, then it could have bacteria down in there where it's trying to heal and seal the bacteria inside the body. If you're out in the woods, let's say, if there's a trauma happening in this world and you do get cut, always keep a needle and thread with you no matter where you go, those old little tiny needle and thread packs. And get yourself one of those old Boy Scout, Girl Scout knives. They have everything on them. You don't go without one of those knives. Now, it's got a can opener on it. It's got a screwdriver on it. It's got a toothpick on it. It's got a corkscrew on it. It's got different blades on it. It's got the rough blades, like a steak knife. And then it's got the flat blade. It's got the long blade. It's got clippers on it for your fingernails. Okay, you got it so far? Now, there's different ways to tie knots, okay? I want to tell you that the importance of tying a friggin' knot. Because you could be out in the woods, I'm telling you. Or you could die. This is my vision. I had to go out in the friggin' woods and do my vision quest and stay out there. Because I had to find out who I was. And I was told to do that. Most people think their vision quests are like a week long and they're in the house. No. You go out in the woods with nothing but the clothes on your back. Not even water, but nowadays you're going to have to take water because you can't drink. You can in the mountains, though. The mountains will always be pure. Deep in the mountains under the rocks. You got to dig it, but there's your fresh water. They're natural springs. But you distill the water before you drink it nowadays because if you leave the water out, you can boil it on a fire, okay? But you still leave it out after you've boiled it for 24 hours. Sun, leave it in the actual sun and all that stuff. But let's say there's a radiation in the air. Just cover it with just, you know, tiny little pinholes. And you can take, let's say, cardboard or a leaf because you're out in the woods. You can take a couple of leaves, lay it on top of the jar or whatever you've got the... you don't have a jar because we're out in the woods. So you got to weave your basket with the old the straw that's out in the yard, in the woods and stuff, and you let that lay and dry out for a couple of days. You know, just hang it. Don't let them lay on top of each other. But here's how you make a knot to weave. You take a let's say like a grapevine or you know a piece of stick that's is bendable like a weeping willow, okay? And you take that old string that you're supposed to take along with you. And if you don't have string, you can use a vine, you know, because they grow all over the trees in the woods. And you wrap the ends together. Now here's the knot. If you're left-handed, I'm left-handed, okay? So this is a square knot. Square knots do not slip. A square knot, you take your left hand. I'm going to use right hand because most people are right-handed. Take the right-handed string, okay? You lay it on top of the left string, okay? Then you go under it and up, just like tying a shoe. But then you got to take the right side again and go over and into, anyway, you stay on the same side that you start the knot. That's a square knot. Now, if you want a loop slip knot, you take the right side, lay it over the left, then you take the left and lay it over the right. That's going to slide. So if you keep doing that a couple of times, you're going to get a twisted effect in a macrame or something. If you want a square knot, which is going to be solid, you do it that way. Now, let's say, you know those old, we had to do nooses. But the nooses are important because, let me explain why. Here's how you make a noose. But it's not a noose. It's for a hook. You've got to have something to hook your pots on. You got to have something to hang over the tree and hook your clothes on, or, you know, to hook. So what you do there is you have if you want 3 feet of say, let's use jute. Macrame jute comes in different forms. It comes in 3-ply, 4-ply, 5-ply, 6-ply, whatever. But that's how many strings are woven around each other tight. Used with beeswax to seal it. Okay, so that whatever ply you want, you take the vine, dry it out a little bit, only a couple of days, or you can use it fresh if you're going to make the noose. And you take it and you have a pretty long piece. I'm going to use about my body length piece. Okay, you've got a body length piece. Let's say string, because you guys are not going with me right now. I can feel it. You got your string and you're going to lay it straight down as long as your body. Clip it off. Now you're going to take the bottom part and get another piece that's a half that long, okay? So you got two pieces of string, one as long as your body, and you got a half a body of string. Two pieces of string. And you're going to take the piece that's your body length, go to the bottom with it, bring it up, okay? Halfway, maybe to your belly button or your knees, okay? You're going to hold it there. Just hold it there with your finger. Now take the string that's like a shoestring or whatever and lay it straight up where the real long piece is hanging. Lay that string straight up against it and start wrapping it around real smooth towards your feet. You're making a loop, okay? You see that loop? You're wrapping it around and around and around, okay? When you get the width of the barrel of the noose that you want, you stick the leftover shoestring part, you know, the short string that's been wrapped around a couple of times, into the fold. But remember, at the very top, you've got to take that string that you're starting to wrap around, you got to fold it under, because you got to fold it under and then start wrapping it. Just a little piece of it so it's not hanging out. Okay, so let's start over. Because I'm feeling like you're not, let's get the piece of paper and pencil ready. You got a long string at the size of your body. Pretty thick. Then you've got a smaller string half the size of your body. Okay? Now, what you do is you take the string from the floor up about to your, let's go to your upper thumb or wherever you want to do it. Hold it up and you've got like a loop with a piece of string hanging off the side and blown. Then you take your small string and you lay it straight up, even keel with the piece that's at the bottom that you've looped up. Now you start fold. You fold a little piece of that down under, okay, or you can wrap it around, but then you start taking that small string and you start wrapping clockwise down. I use about 8 to 10 wraps. Then you take the leftover string, because it's going to have a tail to it, and stick it in that loop, okay? Now go up to the top where you started the two pieces together. You know that short piece that's laying there that you started, the long piece that you brought up to make the loop, the short piece? Pull that. Pull it hard, because it will pull and make the noose shorter and shorter and shorter. But if you pull it tight, you've got yourself a solid foundation to be able to fish with or whatever, because it's got it's very hard. You can stick another, you know, whatever, like a fishing hook on it, or anything that you want to hook into that noose. That's how tight. And you pull it, and it's hooked in there, okay? So that's how the fishermen use to make the big hooks to, you know, hook the bigger fish and stuff. Yeah. Y'all had enough of my little things here, but no, you haven't. Okay. Let's go fishing. We're going to go fishing. All right. I was raised at Moorhead City, Atlantic Beach, at the Sound with Grandmama and Granddaddy every summer, Grandmama and Granddaddy Hill. And right next door was a fish. Oh, God, did it stink. It was a good football field away, but no, maybe a half a football field. But the fishermen would come in, and they taught me so much. I was just a little snotty-nosed little kid with a lot of whooping cough going on. Before we go there, let me go back to my whooping cough. Here I am at the Sound at the beach in Moorhead City, and I start coughing and hacking because I always have had lung problems due to the fact that I won't go there yet. But anyway, Joey the Clown and all that stuff. But my grandmother keeps on hand, or kept on hand, hardcore liquor. It's the kind you don't want to drink. It's that hardcore, because they made their own. Shut up. I can tell you how to make a still, you know, and make the liquor too, but. Okay, you get that moonshine, hardcore liquor, or even if you don't, you use Jack Daniels is the best. That's just what, the dark liquor. Now you take 3 tablespoons of hardcore liquor. You take, I'm going to give you a small dose because it's a kid. If it's an adult, you use 6 spoons. Just, you know, double it. You take 3 spoons of hardcore liquor, 3 tablespoons of hardcore liquor. You take 1 teaspoon of or 2 teaspoons of honey, however sweet you want to make it. You want to make it thick. So let's use 3 tablespoons of hardcore liquor, 2 teaspoons of honey that you've gotten off of your hives, or you can buy it. You can even use Cairo syrup, anything thick with syrup in it, with sugar. And you take 1/2 teaspoon to 3/4 of lemon juice. And if you don't have lemon juice, it should be fresh squeezed. But if you don't, use that. You can use a lime or whatever, but it won't work as well. But the lemon cuts the honey, and the alcohol dissolves the honey, because the honey's the key. But then you give tablespoons, because remember, honey cures asthma, allergies, whatever. So you've got to get that honey into your system to start breaking down those bronchial tubes. Your bronchial tubes are like cauliflower. They look like flour. They've got these little fingers on them, and you think of the beehive, okay? And the bees, those flowers are your pores that breathe in and out for your heart, which one side goes, you know how hard it is. I'll give you that lesson in a minute, but, you know, because that's your breathing. But the thing is that you want to give it slowly to a child, because it's going to make them drunk. It's going to knock their ass out. But it's a nice knockout. It's kind of like what do they use today? I don't even know. Give me something. Vicks, no. NyQuil. Yeah, NyQuil's got alcohol in it. Anyway, if you're an adult, you use 6 tablespoons of hardcore liquor, 3 tablespoons or teaspoons of honey, and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and eat it. Just eat the friggin' stuff. Now, if you need to make a salve and it's real bad, and you need to make a salve type thing for to draw out the poison toxins out of the lungs, you use garlic. You boil the garlic and mush it. You know, like cloves of garlic, and you mush it down, you smash it, and you make a paste out of it mixed with honey, and lay it on right dadgum on your chest, okay? And then you lay a hot, warm that you have taken and you boiled some water, or you've microwaved, but we're in the woods, but you boil the water, and then you stick the rag in there, and I'm telling you, it's hot. So you pick it up with a fork or something and let it just cool in the air just a few minutes, because it's got to be really hot. It's going to make the skin a little red, but don't worry about it. It's like getting in a hot bathtub. You lay that on top of the crushed up garlic on the chest, and that draws within 3 hours. Y'all, I kid you not, I was down. And when it hits me, y'all, remember when Michael was here, it just hit me. Damn gum. And with what happens is you sneeze, a good hardcore sneeze, and it's a fun feeling sneeze. You go, and it's a real hardcore sneeze. That's when you first know you're getting sick, and it's going to be a bad one according to the sneeze. That's what my grandmama told me. And it's true. Michael was here. We were laying down together. I sneezed one good hardcore time. And you also sneeze when you're excited, by the way, and your eyes dilate. If you want to know that one, I'm don't let me bounce, y'all. Help me stay on course, okay? Think of my the back of my back right now, and y'all are my heart, because the angel's wings are like a heart shape. And remember, those are your wings. The heart is your wings. It's where you fly to and everything. And inside your heart, you have feathers inside of feathers inside of feathers. Don't get me there right now. Just y'all be my wings, but on the back of my. Because your lungs are in the back of your body, not the front, like everybody thinks. They're in the back rib cage. Know that because when my daddy had cancer. But it pulls in the front to feed the oxygen into the heart, because your circulation of your blood. I'm using Matthew's little god here that he had in third grade, I believe. But let's look at it this way. Okay? Now, you've got your right side of your heart is got 2 chambers to it. The top part, the bottom part of your chambers of your heart, on the right side, the oxygen goes in, okay? And it travels around like a loop and goes into the part, all those little veins and ventricles, and comes out. It comes, it's on both sides, actually. I'm thinking because I had the surgery on only the right side. But if you think of it this way, I don't know whether y'all need a half a heart or a whole heart, because what we're doing is going in with the oxygen. When you breathe in deep, that deep root breathe, okay, your bottom parts of your heart, this first main rich oxygen, red blood, carbon dioxide. That's what Matthew says right here, okay? And it's called, that's where the right side of the lungs are, okay? Because your lungs are actually the bottom core of your lung loop. You got 2 lobes in your lungs. You've got the upper lobe and the lower lobe. The lower lobes is what goes into the heart. The upper lobes is what breathes out of the heart, the CO2. And that's a blue. It's a blue color. Remember Fred Bell's, I don't know whether it was an archive or what, but I love to listen to his show. It's on Sunday nights. He was talking about the color blue being like the life and the feminine and all that stuff. Anyway, you think of it this way. The blue, the color of the blue in the flame of a candle. Let's light a candle, and I'm going to pass it to BBS on the bridge, and we're going to light everybody a candle, because once one candle lights, the light never extinguishes. And y'all keep passing that candle, the talking stick candle, okay? But what's happening here is if you take a candle and you put it in a closet, which is the flame, what happens? It extinguishes because there's no oxygen. You think of the tree leaves out on the tree. They breathe us and we breathe them. That's our lungs of earth. The trees of life are our lungs. And why is it called the tree of life? Because the trees leaves breathe for us and we breathe the trees. Those are our little flower follicles in our lungs. The heart is our roots. It's what pumps it. Now think of all those people from this moment back and all those people that shed their blood and died for, you think it's a tragedy or undue cause. We've got a new earth that has the layers from the bee stings and the burn, everything, you know, that is pulled out with the Epsom salt because we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the true creation of the Lord thy God Almighty. Okay, listen to this part. I'm telling you about the new earth as well as our bodies. Because our bodies are the navel, our umbilical cord is hooked to this earth. Our feet are planted in this earth. We're walking this earth. We walk our talk. We speak our talk. We live our talk. We breathe our talk. Our path, our feet are our talk. Our feet, your baby toe is your main balance of your whole body. You don't have a baby toe, you're going to be freaking off balance. Your baby freaking toe. Now your finger that you put a ring on, that finger, the ring finger on your left finger, that's your main vessel to your heart. That's your main ventricle. That's why you put the ring on the ring, you know, the second to the last finger on your, from your baby finger, because that finger is your heart pumping up. Okay? Now listen, while I gotta tell you, I'm allergic to pine and cedar. I grew up with pine and cedar and playing in the sap, because that sap's good shit. You're not supposed to ever burn cedar or pine trees in your fireplace, because that sap gets in there and it sticks to the sides of the fireplace and it will cause a big, huge fire. Okay? But you use it for protection. That's why it's protecting, because the fire cannot penetrate the sap. That's why the fire connects to it, the little follicles, you know, like the little pieces of smoke and the energies of the smoke of a candle or whatever, or the flames, and it sticks to that sap and catches fire because it has nowhere to go. Can't penetrate. Can't breathe. So you got that sap. That's why you don't breathe. You don't ever burn cedar, or you use that as protection. Like, it's, let's say you're having bad dreams, okay? Let's just say you're hypothetically having bad dreams, or you want to guide your dreams. Take some cedar off a cedar tree and lay some pieces around your bed, okay? And it's wonderful to have a dream catcher over your head. Over your head. Now, you can get those anywhere from Native American, or I can teach you to make one if you want on another given day, which is your spider web. Because the spider webs catch everything. Now, I want to tell you something really cute. I'm going to stop a minute. First, let me rewind. To the heart. The lower parts of your lungs breathe in. That's why you breathe in from your abdomen for your cleansing breaths before you do meditation. Because you've got to. And when people sing, they sing from their abdomen. Now, I'm flat, but I can't sing. I sing like Roseanne Barr. But I can sure as heck use my voice and change it. Talk about the voice! I bring it back like that. I scared the shit out of y'all, didn't I? Not for years. Well, it was something to get your attention. Okay. Now your lower part, it pulls in all the oxygen. That is your rich red blood cells. Now what is red? Red is passion. It's passion. The hottest, the passion, the depths of the love of the friggin' heart. The depths, opposite sides of the hatred, anger, rage, fear in a relationship or anything. That's the opposite pole of red, which is passion. Be careful with your red, because you've got to be centered at all times on that tightrope, because the debris that you have not concluded in your vision quest in the woods by yourself, learning who you are, will cause us some hell. Karma's good and bad and indifferent. Now, I have been told by my elders that we are in immediate karma payback right now when the storm hit and everything. But on the 18th of August, well, actually it was the 12th, 13th. Remember I told you guys the date of August 12th, 13th, that it was going to be a shift and things were going to come to the good, to that like a pimple that you got to pop to the head or a splinter you got to pull out. Okay, we're busting. There's no more room for our human concept to go. So we're busting open. We're getting all the nasty poison out of our systems. And we've got until October 2nd. Not 28th, but the 2nd of October. Okay? What's a woman's cycle? A woman's blood menstrual cycle is every 26 to 28 days. Okay, so now we're going to go to the 27th of September, of October. That's an 8, okay? It's 2 and 7. No, it's a 9, excuse me, the 26th. Duh. You got the 26th, 27th, 28th, because it takes 3 days, 3 whole days to evolve into anything. You have first your manifestation, you put it out there. The second day, it collaborates together in the cosmos, and the third day, it comes back. That's how fast our karma's going to hit us. You're going to be slapped from here to freaking kingdom come. So, let's get all the negative karma out of us without having to live it. Let's say that I went in that vision quest for everybody, okay? And I faced everything. Because in that vision quest, I went into a cave. And it was a bear cave, I kid you not. And the bear were friggin' asleep, but not. They were getting ready to come out of their slumber. And it was huge. I'm talking huge cave. It was a tavern. And I had to get a green stone on my tongue to look like I found it at a hidden night, but I put it on my tongue. And the green reminded me of envy, fear, rebirth, life, new, and also money, which is not money, physical money, but prosperity. I wanted to prosper. Wanted to prosper plenty. And it's also a natural healing because green is using natural, all natural. So green is, and if you ever make a web page or whatever, use green. Green is the healing and it attracts most people to your site. Green is very soothing for the eyes. And it's the first thing that you want to use. Now the blue, which is the hottest color in the flame, can also be the friggin' coldest color in a flame. In life, you freeze like ice. Your lips turn blue. So a blue is like that's why the heart has a blue, which you exhale, okay? Because it's the hottest color of the flame. But the red, okay? The red is the when the light's out on a match, you know, the umber. So it doesn't, and if you blow on an umber of a match, what happens? Like when you're doing smudging and saging, you know, the fire's gone out, and you blow on it, and it brings the umbers up, right? So you're going to think of your bottom parts of your lungs as the match that has been lit, but it's gone out, the hot. You know, you want to blow on it deep. Breathe in deep. And that puts the fire out because you're breathing in deep. You're sucking all the fire out. Now you're going to exhale, which is the blue. Because you're feeding the fire. You're blowing and making a fire. Because you've got to have oxygen in order to blow out for the trees to live. And the nature to live. And you to live. That's why we inhale, exhale. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, when you're having a baby, you pant, blow. You make a snake sound. And then blow. Because that is not letting you breathe. And it's making you exhale. You can't push or nothing with a baby when you do that. That's stage 4. But hope I'm on track enough for you guys to follow. I would make a web page and put all this up, but I freaking don't know what an FTP server is. I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is to write a blog. But then when I write the blogs, I get spammed to daggum death with some kind of mystical runsty type thing. and all this nasty, filthy sexual bullshit comes up there, so I just don't have any way to communicate with people. You know, there's a lot of people out there in this world, white hat, whatever. I don't really know the details, but white, black, and gray. You know, a black hat is there for just their purpose only, to cut into your computer and just hack the thick shit away. So you think of that black hat as the no oxygen in the closet. They're hiding. They're secret. They're shadows. The shadows of, you know, they want to steal that oxygen and suck it. Okay, then you got the gray, which is somewhere in between. They'll hack for a company, but they'll, you know, into something to give them some information. Like, say, let's say you got a Pepe's or a Poppy's or a Pepe's or whatever that sells clothes and stuff. And you want to see what your employees are doing because you want to make sure that they're up and at them and if they're using their computers as the proper way. Then you have a gray hat go in and check the company. They're called a gray hat because they're hacking into the employees to see what they're doing, but then you've got, they're doing it for a company as a black, so that's why they're called gray hats. This is what the Geek Squad told me when my computer took over to feed the world with good, bad, and indifferent, and it's ghosting now. And I won't do anything about it because to me, I feel that things are as they should be, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I'm not going to put my friggin' energy out there to try to figure out who's doing what, because that is not none of my business. Because what I think of me is what's my business. And well, if I focus on that, then I'm giving that power. And if I give that power, then it's taken away from my spiritual path. So I'm asking as a request to lay down all arms that are in my system or any part of my life and respect me. I am a grandmother. I'm a grandmother of wisdom. I have not been playing a game with you guys for the past 7 to 10 years. I have been studying body language, verbal, nonverbal cues, and learning each one's energy the way I can communicate without seeing people. Each person has a different feel to them. Like my daughter, she runs across my eyes. Okay? If you feel my energy, I'm like a breath, I blow, like a soft blow, but I will not tap into anybody's energy field. That's why when I do intuitions, I will not tell you about your boyfriend, your brother, your sister, unless it's someone past that comes to me, because that's tapping into the other's energy, and they could be freaking, you know, subconsciously, you know, or non, you know, as Michael calls it, the super conscious. That's the suit, basically your super conscious going out there, tapping into somebody, coming back and giving the information to someone. No, 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 no. Moral code. Why is that a moral code of ethics? Y'all study, y'all go on and study, what's his name? That Chinese guy. Confucius. Go read Confucius say. Like man who screws ground has peace on earth. Confucius say man who fart in church sit in pew. But not really that guy. But go read Confucius and learn about your moral codes. Very important. I haven't really studied but a little piece of him. But, you know, I really don't want to get anything from... Oh, I'm past the hour! Sorry, Seth. I just looked up. Ding! It's 9:02. I got to stop there. Let's fold the book. Let's give a very deep prayer for a breath of air. And remember, what you feed is going to manifest like the fire. And what you want to extinguish... You pant blow. Blessings, everybody. Blessings in the utmost, highest way into the new fourth dimension, which you will now see into the fifth in your visions, because we are in a new world. Remember the Band-Aid to put on the outer skirts of the Florida, put the band of angels around, because it wraps up around Oregon and goes down. Remember that archive about me seeing that. And the Band-Aid needs to be on the triangle, the Bermuda Triangle. That's where all the storms are forming. Why? Because it's a naturalistic hole. Why? Because we have made the earth upset. Why? Because it's the devil's triangle. Well, let's heal. Any rage, any kind of healing with doing the ocean, the sea, or whatever. My ancestors told me, you bless it. Now, when I take a piece of cotton apart, very slowly, I found a cotton seed in the center of my brother's farm where he bought a cotton field. But anyway, that seed, think of that, the oil that's in the seed. Remember, You've got to have your oil to start the fire. Remember, you've got to treat things that you do that are enemy or upset. We're really not enemies, but there's anything that's causing you upset or strife, love it, bless it, gently. And if you want to calm it down and you're in a conflict with a human, tap them too with two fingers on the wrist, just gently. That will get them to stop the conversation, and you can communicate and say, I hear what you're saying, and I'll take that into consideration. That'll stop an argument right away because they don't know whether you did it or didn't. I will be Bridging Wisdom on Blog Talk Radio. Look for me there because I'm going to start. I don't have enough hours here at BBS, but BBS is my home. But I do have one of those triple primes, the $99, and I've got another Bridging Wisdom, which is $39. But I don't know how to use them. I don't care to use them, but I do know how to broadcast and then upload. So let's look for Bridging Wisdom. And thank you, Bridge, BBS Radio, the main bridge to the paradise that we are forming now. This is Kathy Cook, and it is August the 30th, 2011, starting into September. We will not have another 9/11. We won't have 11/9. Nothing's going to happen. Get that. Get over that. Done. Period. Over. This 9:05. Bye-bye. Love you guys. Over and out.